Following on from International Women's Day and Mother's Day last week, we're bringing you a very special episode on a subject we've not covered before, what it's like to become a mother during your athletic career. To help us on this journey, I was delighted to speak to longtime friend of the podcast and GB trampolinist Laura Gallagher, alongside England and GB hockey player Joe Pinner. Both have given birth to their first child in the last 14 months and are now on their way back to the top of their sports. Across this episode, we cover a huge variety of topics, from planning when to have a child during your career, to the physical toll pregnancy, giving birth and raising a newborn takes on the body, taking inspiration from other athlete mums, how to balance training and childcare, the very non-linear process of returning to sports, having to essentially start again, and so much more. Laura and Joe talk incredibly openly about their experiences, providing a richly detailed insight into a topic that is still in its infancy in terms of understanding. For context, the UK sport maternity policy was only introduced in the last year, and they are both in a very small pool of female athletes who have chosen to become parents and then return to activity. I really hope you enjoy listening to and learning from these athletes as much as I did, because this is a very special podcast. So welcome, listeners, to Sportspill, another episode in this series. And once again, we are breaking new ground by discussing a completely new topic on the podcast and, being completely honest, something entirely new for me as well. And I'm delighted to welcome longtime friend of the show, Laura Gallagher, and someone I used to work very closely with in the world of hockey, Joe Pinner, to the podcast. And today we are discussing being an athlete mother, which is, again, like I mentioned, something we've not discussed before. So firstly, thank you both for joining us, and I'm really excited to hear what you've got to say and to learn, essentially. So thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
So first question, I'll keep it nice and generic. For both of you, it's been a few months, if not a year or so now, since you had your children. How has it been, I guess, becoming parents?
Yes, it's been 10 months now, which is cliche. Everyone says it flies by, but it really does. You literally take one day at a time, and it's all of a sudden bedtime, and then morning, and then bedtime, then morning, and it just flies by. So 10 months of being a mum, which is, I'm loving it, really, really enjoying it. I've got a really lovely little boy, Josh, who's so smiley. He's just so happy. He feeds well, he sleeps well. So we're really lucky as parents to have him as a little boy. And he's just started to crawl and things like that. So he's getting more and more interesting by the day, which is really good fun. But crawling comes at a cost as well. You now have to sort of really man mark him rather than leaving him on the floor.
Yeah.
Really, really loving it. It's it is a privilege, as everybody, as parents say. Makes my day. I just look forward to seeing him whenever I come home from training, things like that. So yeah, really, really nice part of the day.
Totally. I feel exactly the same. It's been an absolute whirlwind year. Edie turned one at the end of January, so she's doing really well. She's, again, like yours, is quite happy. Happy baby. Luckily, we've had no issues with feeding, but the sleep was definitely an issue for the first sort of, I think, from months, particularly from months 4 to 10. That was pretty hard going. But she's definitely getting the hang of that now. just loving it. And like you say, just look forward to seeing her in the morning. It's just such a lovely time to go into her room and see a little smile. It's lovely. Something that we sort of really wanted for a long time, and just really loving each day, as tiring as it is, to be honest. Just really enjoying it all.
In the morning, when you say seeing their smiley faces, they can be an absolute terror in the night.
Yeah.
You just see their smiley face in the morning, like, oh, it's all right.
Yeah.
We've all forgotten that. Yeah. Everyone's happy.
And she puts her arms up now when you see her in the morning, and it's just so lovely. It's definitely, the tiredness is something like on another level that I've not experienced or was sort of expect, I wasn't really, I didn't know what to expect, if I'm honest, but yeah, I found definitely from 4 to 10 months, I was really, that was hard, really hard.
She up a lot in the night.
She was, yeah. I don't know. I think because, yeah, I was feeding, breastfeeding up until, I think she was 11 months when she just stopped. And yeah, and it was just, she would feed every wake and it was like 4, sometimes 5 times a night, quite often. And she would go down quite quickly, but you were just up. A good night would be like maybe 2 wake-ups. But the first, I thought she was quite a good newborn, but it turns out that she probably was on the lesser side on the sleep. And she didn't really like napping either. She's still a little bit like that now. Although her naps are sort of a bit more compressed and a bit longer, just more often than not once at the moment. So, but yeah, so she's going into that transition into one nap instead of 2 a day, I think. Yeah. But yeah, so yeah. The sleep was not that easy for us. I do envy everyone that says there's sleep through the night.
Yeah, and I'm going to break it to you. I'm one of those people. You have to be careful who you say it to. We were so lucky.
No, because I'm sure there'll be something else that's, yeah, different challenges for everyone, isn't it? True. But I think that was the thing I found the hardest, most like physically, not so much mentally, because I actually found it focused me a lot easier because I knew I didn't have any space to think about anything other than what I needed to do when I did go to training. But physically, I definitely found that, I think the lack of sleep really affected me physically. And I really struggled
with training. Like if you had a really, really rough night or if it built up, would you alter your training or?
I would sometimes change the time of my training. I would sort of, as long as I covered a certain amount of sessions each week, that was the aim. So a couple of strength sessions. And as long as I covered all of those, then I didn't mind when I sort of did them, as long as I tried to get them. But most of the time I just carried on. But I think some of the time I should have probably taken rest over the training, for sure. Because I don't think I was getting the best out of either. The recovery definitely was affected for sure. It's a lot better now, but yeah, I'd say it's still, that's the biggest adjustment, I think.
We've been fortunate. So I breastfed for, I think, about four and a half months. And then I weaned him off and switched to formula. To help me, sort of the toll on my body, because breastfeeding takes so much out of you. I think said something like 850 calories a day just from breastfeeding alone it can take.
Yeah.
Which, sportswomen, that on top of the output we
training,
put in
the training
is just so much. So, yeah, the stopping breastfeeding, I think, helped my body physically. Josh has just been a good sleeper. So, I mean, some nights he'd have 13 hours straight, which is bonkers. From about 6 months onwards, he was sort of sleeping through. To the point where if he woke up once, it would almost be a shock to the system because we think, whoa, what's happening? Is this a regression? And we start to think, things like that.
Yeah.
So that definitely helped.
We tried
with my training and
we tried like everything. We did. Yeah, we did. We did introduce just before she went to bed. I think this was around 9 months. I think we introduced just like a formula feed just before bed, just the last feed, and that it didn't really make a difference.
Because
she's like fuller. Yeah, but she'd take it down. And luckily, we haven't had, like, I've got friends that have struggled to get a bottle, like get them to take a bottle. And obviously with work or training or whatever, I wanted to try and, so their advice was to try and get her on like taking a bottle earlier, and she's been fine with that, all of that, luckily. Yeah, it was just the sleep, but yeah, like I said, it has calmed down. But it's funny, the first time she did sleep till, I think she slept through until 6 o'clock in the morning once, and we were away, it was in at the end of November, and I wake up at 3 thinking, what's happening? Is something wrong? Because it was so, so strange. And I was just lying there awake thinking, something wrong, don't go into her room, just, you know, if she's asleep. So I was just lying there awake until it got to like 6 o'clock, and then and I just, so I didn't, I felt even more tired because I just stayed awake the whole time worrying, but I was resisting the urge to go in and just check on her because I didn't want to wake her just in case. But
also, if you're you must have felt engorged if you're used to feeding at that time of night as well.
Yeah, it was it was all of it. Yeah, it's been a crazy year. Lots of changes. But yeah,
did you used to snack in the middle of the night when you breastfed?
No, I was a bit rubbish on that front. My friends always said to have like some crackers or something,
yeah,
or something by the bed ready, but I didn't really ever feel the need. And maybe that was probably why I did struggle so much physically. I think I said in that group that I think that's something that I was a bit slow to prioritize, is the nutritional side of it. And to get support with that as well at the beginning, because I didn't necessarily feel hungry or anything. And I just pushed my own needs way down the list. So the mornings when you're adjusting to the new lifestyle, I think it could get to like 10 o'clock and you've been up for like 5 hours or whatever. And I'd like, actually haven't had breakfast yet. I need to have breakfast, which is nuts and crazy to think about. But that is, at the time, that's just what I was trying to sort everyone else and out and didn't really think about myself.
Yeah, but, it's definitely a good tip for me, because as soon as someone said that, I thought, oh, what a great idea. And I just had loads of cereal bars by the bed. So I was breastfeeding, whatever,
definitely
1, 2, yeah, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd just be sat there munching on a cereal bar. Which definitely helped me keep going, because I was just so hungry by the time I was awake. Baby's then asleep, you fed them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, great, I need to eat now.
Yeah.
Is it fair to say then, because I've sort of heard the cliche before and I've heard people say it, that nothing prepares you for becoming a parent? Would you both sort of say that that is like, it just sort of hits you in a way that you wouldn't expect? Or
so
I think there's a lot you can do. I think there's a lot you can do. I think I knew that people had said to me about the food before. I just hadn't taken it as a, I thought I'd be fine, do you know what I mean? I thought I'd be okay, you know, fit, healthy, whatever. I thought that would, you know, I think it was just like the mental side of it. It's just, you're thinking about a million different things, and I've always multitasked, but it was just like on another level. And I just didn't prioritize the right things, I don't think, right at the beginning. I quickly learned that wasn't the right way. But my body was suffering as a result. But yeah, I think there's a lot you can do to prepare. We did NCT class. I think you did too, didn't you, Jo?
Yeah, I did.
And there was a lot of support from like just mothers in our support staff team, and you know, that would just offer out advice if it was, you know, if you'd ask a question or anything. There was lots of people wanting to help. I don't know if you found the same, Jo.
Yeah, I did. And I'd say, so to your question, I think there's nothing like it. So you just can't compare it to anything else so I certainly can't compare it to anything else I've done. But interesting you asked that question, because I remember me and my husband talking about this, and there's definitely aspects of being an elite sports woman that have actually helped. So for me, just things like knowing, right, if I'm not going to be getting sleep, how else can I recover? Nutrition, food, things like that. Being totally honest, nutrition's never really been a strong point of mine as an elite athlete, but I always at least have been aware that I need to work at it. So there's definitely elements from just being in sport that have helped, and things like the keeping calm when you're pressurized, prioritizing, there are things that are transferable. But
yeah,
then as Laura said, it's a whole new world that I was absolutely clueless about. I've got several nephews and a niece, and I still had no idea how it was going to be to bring up a baby. So things like the classes are really helpful, friends who've had kids, and just having a support network to then help you, guide you through the moment as you're literally living it. But yeah, there's nothing like it. So you can definitely prepare as much people, but
I don't know if you found as well, Joe, that like there seems to be so much information all around, and it's sometimes it can feel a bit overwhelming, especially during pregnancy. And so like social media has its pros, it also has its downsides as well. And I had some people recommending I follow certain athletes that were pregnant or had just come back, and I had to stop in the end because I didn't go on there loads, but when I did go on there, it was just such an alien experience because I was quite sick throughout my whole pregnancy, right to the end. And some days it was like a massive, it was really difficult to get out and get into the gym because I was just, I couldn't like go anywhere further away from my bin. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was tough. So, and then seeing other athletes that could training right up until the end of a pregnancy. And although it's not everyone's got their own individual experience, so I found that really a struggle to look at because it made me feel like, oh, I should be doing this, I'm missing out on this, but I can't actually physically do that at the moment because my body is saying no.
I think it's a really important point because I think it's great seeing more women and loads of sportswomen having a baby, coming back. It's such a positive story.
Definitely.
But there is a bit of a risk, isn't there, of the showing all the highlights. And actually, that there are still risks. It is hard, like it's seriously hard to do. I'm sure you found some, but yeah, the positive side's great, and we should definitely be promoting it. But there's got to be sort of like a realistic side to it. Of this is possible.
Mm.
It's possible in this amount of time, but everyone's story is different, and your pregnancy is different. Your birth will be different. Yeah. Your baby will be different.
Yeah.
Your sport is different.
Yeah.
Your career is different. It's impossible to look at one size fits all approach, isn't it?
I do agree with what you said, Joe, as well about the transfer, like having transferable skills from just from sport, being an elite athlete, like, and I suppose in lots of different jobs as well, like where just being adaptable, especially, you know, the labour's like one example of that, but also like having to be flexible with your training. And there was a few times where I'd organized my training time around Edie's napping and it changed, so I had to be ready for it's almost such as being ready for anything as well, which is all of those things, they all do help. And I think I've learned to be a little bit more laid back and kinder to myself when I have to make sometimes I feel like if I've had to adjust training that I've been soft on myself because that's just different to how I used to train.
Yeah.
But actually it's me being smart and making the right decisions for me at the moment and my family. So like my training looks very different now to how it did. But that's just how it is now. It's not good or bad. It's just different because it's my lifestyle is different and my priorities have to be different too. So I don't know if you find as well, Joe, like in trampolining, it's very it could be a dangerous sport if you're not mentally on it. You're jumping really high in the air, and you're spinning around lots of times. It's like there's a high risk involved, so mentally you have to be really on it. So that's the biggest challenge, I think. It's like being prepared when you go into training mentally and physically, obviously, for that session. And I think that's sort of, I think I underestimated how challenging that would be. So although I found it easier to focus in a way, it's that sort of capacity that I found the hardest thing, that concentration and the...
It for long periods of time, over and over. Next
yeah, and making sure I'm as fresh as... Because I feel hazy sometimes, quite often, even now, when I go into training. So it's like having to really use all of my like mental energy to actually dig deep and find that session. Just realizing the risks, I suppose, of training as well now, and just sort of balancing it with everything else that you're doing. It's quite tricky, but the first up until October, so nine months or so, Edie would come in with me until she started crawling around, which you're living now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When it's a whole different game when we start moving around. Well, up until then, she was quite quite sort of, I would say, easy, but yeah, it was a lot more. And then I'd realized I couldn't bring her into training anymore with me, so yeah, that kind of and it naturally sort of fell with her refusing the boob. Yeah, she would. So she'd come in
with my sport. It
come
wasn't
and sit in the gym. They were really
it not possible to take Josh to my sport, really. So with hockey, obviously outdoors, the risk factor, hockey balls flying everywhere. So I couldn't take him on the pitch, and I didn't take him into the gym either, just because there's multiple sports in there. I think it was actually a rule. Trainer, I wasn't allowed to, which I'm trying to think, would it make my life easier if I could take him in? I'm not sure, perhaps, but we're pretty structured with our
it's
team.
A distraction, I can say that.
Yeah,
but there's always that want to say hello.
yes exactly. Yeah, I take him into, if I had physio, I'd take him in, and one of my teammates would look after him for an hour whilst I've got physio, and that still happens now.
Yeah.
Sort of picked out the team members in my squad who I would trust, and I'm rotating them to as childminders. But I never had him in the gym or anything, other than if I've been doing stuff at home.
Is all your training centralised?
Yeah, it is. We have a decentralised week as a rule of thumb, once every once a month. So, but even then, if I need to be on the hockey pitch, so I still need to go to the facilities there. I still need to be in a gym, so I just go to the training gym rather than I could go to a public gym, but it's easier for me to go to Bisham Abbey where we train. So, the decentralised week, we can train in our own time. Which makes it a lot easier because I can then manage my training times around childcare and, as you say, around sleep or food, whatever. But other than that, when we're centralised, it's whatever the programme is, basically. Which is that was my biggest fear when I was pregnant, almost, because my biggest stress was just the childcare situation. Because I'm not an individual sport, I have flexibility in terms of if my body wasn't ready, I was obviously easing back in, things like that. There was flexibility in what I did and didn't do. But at some point, there was going to be a point where I integrated back into full team training, which means set pitch times, set gym times, things like that. There's always been flexibility around my gym times, actually. My coach was really good with that. But the pitch times, you can't flex. So my biggest challenge or fear when pregnant was, how on earth am I going to make, how am I going to manage this? Because I'm guessing it's the same with you, Laura, but no week's the same with us. We have sort of
same
training,
yeah.
but then there's the extras like physio, team meetings, psychology meetings, anti-doping workshops that crop up. There's so many things that crop up in a week. So the childcare piece, it was really challenging because I was having a baby for a reason. I wanted to spend time with him, so I didn't want to bung him into childcare at such a young age and not see him midweek, because that's not what I wanted. And it was just so challenging to work on how that was going to work, and I ended up finding a really good childminder who was really flexible. So my mum helps out,
no.
My mother-in-law helps out, but she's a bit further away, so it's difficult for her to sort of do the odd afternoon here because she has to travel 2 hours to get here.
Yeah.
My mum's half an hour away, so she can do that. But again, it's quite a lot of pressure to put on one person to look after their grandchild when they don't want to be raising them. They want to be spending quality time with them as a grandchild. I ended up finding a childminder who's really flexible. And as soon as we got into a rhythm of her having Josh, that made the whole training with the squad so much easier, because rather than it being a fixed 2 days a week, 9 to 5 with a childminder, it can be a few hours on a Monday, a few hours on a Tuesday, things like that, which meant I could see them when I was finished training, but also cover anything that cropped up. How have you managed your child?
So up until, like I say, up until November, she would come in, or end of October, she'd come in with me, and then I just sort of work it. So my mum and mother-in-law are not too far away from us, so they help out a couple of days a week. And then the other days I kind of we'll just get her like just someone will look after her whilst I train. Sometimes Matt can have a bit of flexibility, my husband, and he's just changed his hours as well, so he works longer in the week, so he can have every other Friday off as well, so that helps out, especially the squad weeks, then it gives me a day then. But yeah, it's just figuring it out. And then for me, because I'm not centralized, I'm sort of split my time between club environment and squad training at Lillishall. She is allowed to come up with me. They've been really accommodating. And when I'm at Lillishall, it's normally friends and teammates that look after Edie during the training sessions, and then I'll have her around there, which actually has made Lillishall's quite quiet, which is nice.
I used to train there as a
Lillishall,
so I know the place well.
Yeah, so it's quite nice having her there and having some time. But now before Worlds, Matt would come up because I was still feeding as well. He came up because he was home based at that point, so he could work from anywhere. So he would come up with me for the pre-Worlds training camps, which there were 3 weeks of those. So he came up for two of them and then had her at home for the one in between, shared with my mother and mother-in-law. So it's just a little bit, each week is very different, and it's just whatever we've got on. So she's going to come up with me to Lillishall next week, and then Matt will have her the following week at home, which it's not something I enjoy really, but it's not every week, and it's that's the first thing. That's only the second time that will have happened. So
when you're
it's not, so yeah, it's not too bad. We've been really lucky, and we've got a lot of support around, and it's nice having our parents live so near. And Matt's mum's actually a childminder too, so when she goes to Matt's mum, there's lots of other children there. Okay, so it's lovely, and she loves the other children as well. She's not. I think as soon as she starts walking, I think she just won't even look over her shoulder. She'll just go straight in. See you later.
That's what Josh was like. So, I think because I went back to train, team training 5.5 months postpartum, at which point he was then looked after by my mum, my husband's mum, childminder. And I think because it was such a young age for him, we've never had the attachment issues, whatever you call them. He's quite happy. So I walk in the room, he sometimes just looks at me and then just carries on playing.
She does a little sprint crawl over, which is quite nice when she spots me, or giggles, which is nice. I do love that. There was one time when I turned up to my mother-in-law's to pick her up, and she just gave me the cold shoulder. She just completely blanked me. And that was like, oh no.
it makes it easy because you know that they're happy. Wherever they are,
they're very happy. But it is quite nice when her face lights up when she does see me walk through the door. That does make my day. But when we drop her off, she's just not bothered at all. Especially, she just loves other kids as well, so it's nice when she goes there. But then, and it's nice for our parents. I do a little baby gym group on a Tuesday, and that's quite nice because I run that session, and then mum has that time with her as well, so it's kind of a different role. She has to have some distance from me, but it being in the same group, so it's quite nice for her.
That's cool. So you run a class for other babies?
Yeah, up to 24 months. Yeah,
that's something you did before,
from 4 to 24 months.
Did you do that before you're pregnant, or
no? It was just a little bit of a double whammy, really. It was something nice to do with Edie, but also, I guess, using my qualifications, and I get to meet other mums too in the local area. So I've really enjoyed it so far. It's been quite fun. I sort of did a little trial in July and then started properly in September. But it's lovely because we've got some regulars and similar age as Edie, and it's just funny seeing them grow up because they're like walking now. Edie's not quite that walking, but the others are. They'd only just started crawling and stuff, so it's just everything goes, you said that time goes really fast. It really, really does. No one prepares you for that.
make sure you follow Sportspiel on social media. Search for Sportspiel Pod on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or on LinkedIn.
Both mentioned there like quite a few things to think about: childcare, changes to your body, like coming back to training. How, I guess, sort of the actual decision or the process of starting a family sort of mid-career, hope you don't mind me asking, but sort of how was it for you, and was there a lot to think about and a lot to debate, or was it a no-brainer, it's just something you both wanted to do?
For me and my husband, we always wanted a family. That was first things first. And we sort of roughly knew when that might be. When we were at that stage, the priority was try to get pregnant, try to start a family. That's what we want right now. You never know if that will happen, how long, if it does happen, how long it might take, how you'll feel when you're pregnant, how you'll feel when you've had the baby. So it's just it's a crazy time in terms of how you're feeling. But the one thing that was always clear to me and George was that we wanted to start a family, and we knew exactly when that was. And for me, it was after the summer of the Commonwealth Games, I'm trying to remember years now, which was 2022. That was when we wanted to try for a baby. And the thing that made it easier was the maternity policy that UK Sport introduced. That meant that there was no longer the decision of, right, do I need to retire to start a family, or do I need to delay starting a family to play hockey for longer? The maternity policy meant that actually you could kind of do both. Obviously, it's not that simple when you're pregnant. You can't compete, and there's a long period coming back, and there's the uncertainties and unknowns there. But the policy did at least take that stress away of perhaps losing your funding spot. So yeah, for us it was always the time when we wanted to start, we just went for it, really.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, just you just don't know how long things take and if it will happen, and I think that's the biggest thing that we probably learned. For us, I didn't actually know about the pregnancy policy. I don't think it had come out when we first started trying for a family. I always knew that I wanted to be a mum. That's just something I've always wanted to be, and just never know when the time's sort of right. But it definitely, I think in the lead up to Tokyo, that felt quite intense. I was away from home training up at Lillishall during the week, most like every week pretty much, and I just didn't want to put my family life on hold, and I didn't, you know, that I just had to make that switch a little bit, because I felt that had been almost second. I've always tried to prioritize both, obviously, and put everything into both, but it felt like I needed a bit more of my family time, and I didn't want to put my personal life on hold anymore. And then the pregnancy policy, by the time we did fall pregnant, was out, so that made, because before then I didn't know what, because you don't know how long these things take, I just continued to train. But after Tokyo, I ended up having shoulder surgery on a rotator cuff repair. I'd ruptured my rotator cuff tendon, so whilst they were sorting all of that out, we were that was when we were sort of deciding on trying for a family. And then so it's just, I think there comes a time in your career and your life where you just know that it's the right time, and you're not willing to put, things have to come first, you know.
Exactly.
And it's not always an easy decision. It doesn't mean that you care any less about one thing. It's just, that's just what you need to do at that moment. And I think life's too short to keep putting things on hold as well. Joe said, the policy has definitely made a difference. And I don't know about you, Joe, but I felt really supported all the way through my pregnancy journey and since becoming a mum too. And I felt quite connected with, other athletes and inspired by their journeys, even though we've already discussed everyone's so individual, has completely, each sport has completely different needs. And, you know, for me, I can only train in a certain place. I can't just go out and train in my local park, for example. I have to be in a certain place and I have to be in a certain frame of mind, and, you know, and I have to have a certain type of equipment. Each sport has its own individual needs, so everything's different for each athlete mum. But that policy has definitely given me the opportunity to continue training and going for both my goals alongside being a mum. So
going back to the point when you said you had shoulder surgery, weirdly, I had hamstring surgery before I tried to get pregnant, and it's it was almost like a, so I'd ruptured my hamstring tendon muscle, don't know what it is, before the Commonwealth Games and World Cup of that year, which was a real bummer in terms of timing. It was the worst timing possible, but it was almost like a everything happens for a reason type moment, sort of like, right, this is my body's telling me rest, maybe reevaluate. And it was from that moment I was like, right, do you know what, if I didn't try for family now, I could get 2 years down the line, I might get injured again, and not make the team for the Olympics. I might not be good enough to make the team for the Olympics. There's so many factors that I was almost looking at that way. If I delay it now, I may have, I felt like I'd have more regrets in the future if whatever, you're pregnant, which isn't the way that people should necessarily look at it. That's just how I felt at that time.
Yeah.
So I thought, do you know what? I know that being pregnant and having a baby is going to impact my hockey career, because I'd be lying if I said it didn't. It has impacted it. But for me, that's what I wanted most at that time. And now I'm in a position where I'm trying to make them both work.
I mean, from the way that you're both, I mean, the way that just sort of watching on the Zoom, the way your faces light up when you're sharing your stories and talking about your children, obviously you've, both for you, have done the right thing. You both seem so happy, and it just, it's wonderful to see. And you mentioned there the support, and you mentioned the UK sport policy, but how good of your coaches, your teammates, UK sport being with you and helping you throughout the process, not just during the pregnancy, but then also coming back into your sports as well.
So teammates were so supportive. I still remember telling my team when I was pregnant, and just the squeals in the room were really, it was so sweet. Everyone was so happy. I think some people had an inkling, certainly the older people in the team. They wondered why my rehab was taking so long for my hamstring and why I was so happy that I wasn't on the pitch. So they had guessed before I told them.
Yeah,
teammates are so happy. And as were all the coaching staff, support staff at England, Great Britain Hockey. So that was brilliant. And in terms of the return, again, really supportive. It certainly feels like a very hot area right now. There's lots of Olympians and Paralympians who are having babies and returning to their sports at the moment. So it's a really hot place to be, and people are really interested to help. The big thing I've noticed is people's willingness to want to help me. We haven't got everything right, and there would definitely be learnings from certainly my return into the sport. I've had a couple of injuries that perhaps would have been avoidable if we approached it differently. But that's partly driven by me, not just necessarily the staff, in terms of my goals. And I wanted to be back at this point. And, you know, athletes are like, when we want to do something, we want to do it. So it was always going to be
this. That's been my experience too.
And I look back and I think there's things I would do differently, and perhaps wouldn't have rushed certain things, or I would have not tried to.
Then you wouldn't know, would you?
Exactly. I was just so desperate to play hockey, and I had sort of a rough goal in mind, and my body was kind of letting me do it, but it also wasn't letting me do it. But I just kept pushing it. And in hindsight, I would give another pregnant athlete returning to hockey slightly different advice to how I did it. But the willingness of people to support is really strong in hockey particularly.
Yeah, I've got to echo that as well. I don't think I could have felt any more supported. I think, though, that in elite sport, I don't know if this has been your experience as well, but like, I don't think there's such thing as a personal life as such. It's difficult to keep things. The things obviously don't always pan out, and that's difficult to keep that under wraps as well. So it's if you didn't want to share that you were trying for a family or anything, it's quite challenging to do that. And if you're at school, for our sport, there's not really any research in our sport as to when to stop jumping. Yeah. I think it was the risk of falling rather than the actual impact that was the highest risk factor. So I was advised to stop jumping when I found out I was pregnant at 5 weeks, and then obviously I didn't really want to share that until I was a bit more comfortable that I was in a bit more confident that my pregnancy was healthy and everything. So that was probably the biggest thing that I found tricky at the beginning.
How did you hide that then?
Just little white lies here and there. Yeah. And it coincided with a little bit of a gap between a training camp. It was like a little bit of an off season as well. A really short one, but it coincided with that. I did tell my personal coach, and I did get support from a UKSI doctor, female health doctor as well, just on
you maybe the best doctor.
Yeah, on the best way forward. She had actually run a workshop with us. I'd met her previously, and I just wanted some advice that I knew was completely separate from my team, if that makes sense. So it was just although it was shared after, I knew I could just ask for some advice, but you know, without outside of my team, just to start with, but from someone that was new sport, I knew what my situation was, if that makes sense. So I got some advice from there, and obviously everyone was, when I did tell the team, everyone was just so supportive. And there were meetings about who I wanted to have as like a point of contact. They didn't want to, the bit where you said about we're sort of learning together, it's exactly the same in my sport in terms of writing policies, athlete mums and athlete parents, for example, competitions about staying in the same hotel, because normally the policy is family and friends can't sit in the same hotel and things like that. But what do you do if you're feeding, like I was at the Worlds, and how do you sort of navigate through that? So it's been kind of a really big learning for both of us, and that I'm okay with that, because everyone's been really, really open, and I'm open with them too, and it's worked out really well. And I completely agree. If I had someone, could give some advice to someone going through it next time, I would definitely not give them the same advice as what I followed for myself. Yeah. And that didn't come from anyone else. That was completely my fault, driven by me. Not trying to do anything silly, but just thinking I'd be okay to do certain things, and pushing it just a little bit too hard, and not giving myself enough. I think, given the lack of sleep and lack of recovery, I think that definitely showed how important those two things are in elite training, in elite sport, sorry. But yeah, so it's a really good question, but I think they're probably the biggest things. But yeah, have felt really supported from everywhere. And like you say, it seems, I think there's been quite a few, we've been asked to take part in a few questionnaires and surveys and studies, that they're sort of looking at our experiences as athlete mums, in this new era, so that they can put together a bigger sort of advisory pack, I suppose, for future athlete mums. So that's nice to be part of that group, and just really cool that there's so much time and effort invested in supporting us, I suppose.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Yeah, similar to you, you mentioned the doctor. The doctor was the first person I told, I think, when I was 4 weeks pregnant, because the thing I was most concerned about was safety of
Yeah, same.
Baby and of me, and how do I don't want to do anything that could harm that. So that was the first person I told as soon as I knew, just to make sure I was trained safely, because I had no idea what was safe. And generally they say if you've been doing it before, you can continue training. There's obviously a certain thing, get to like the third trimester, you shouldn't be in and I similar with hockey, I was gonna play hockey because the risk of the ball, like trauma, the ball can hit the bump, things like that. So I couldn't play hockey, but I have got friends who've played hockey pregnant, and obviously each person has their own risk that they might want to take. But for me, it was an absolute no, although I was still rehabbing at that point. So interesting, you also said that you had to sort of tell white lies when you're pregnant. So
it was horrible. I felt so awful. It wasn't like I say, because I wasn't at school, it wasn't too bad, but it wasn't something I enjoyed. It, like, it wasn't very nice, but I just felt worried at every for about a month. I just felt permanently worried about everything.
It's a hard thing in sport in general, because I've had sort of club teammates or ex-teammates who have been pregnant and had babies at a similar time, and I remember them not playing. I was like, why blah blah not playing, and they said, oh, she's got a hamstring injury, and I straight away just thought, oh, she's pregnant, but everyone's going to was sort of like, I've got a hamstring injury, and she was pregnant and she did have a baby and all was well, and that happened to a couple of ex-teammates and ex-club teammates, I should say. But it's just it's a tough one, because if you don't want to tell people but you're playing sport and you're missing, it's a hard one to manage, and people manage it differently. I'm sure some people just tell people why they're not there, but then
If you want the latest Sportspiel episodes and updates direct into your email inbox, then subscribe to our newsletter. You can find a link to do so in the show notes of this episode.
Because you sort of mentioned there that there have been a few instances of athletes who have become pregnant during their careers and come back. I'm thinking of Jess Ennis-Hill and Laura Kenny as sort of two of the bigger named examples, but it's still a very unknown thing, certainly in this country. Was it a bit of a scary process, sort of knowing that the policies and stuff weren't in place or only just being introduced, and that there's still a lot of learning to be done? Or was that quite exciting, and do you sort of feel as though that you're able to help people going forwards?
I didn't find it scary, because it felt like the right thing for me at the time. We were trying before I even knew that there was a pregnancy policy, and I didn't know the consequences of, like, if I were to fall pregnant, then before that I knew about that policy, like what would happen, because I knew that was the right thing for me and my family at the time. That the policy just made it easier to come back, and be able to continue at the high level. Doing that, like, that would have been not impossible, but even more challenging without it. I think it's nice to think that my little experience, it may contribute to a wider thing that's going to help people in the future. But I think what we've been discussing is such an individual thing. You need a big bank of women, like women's experiences, to then put together something to find something general in that big bank of experience, if that makes sense. I haven't explained that at all well.
Yeah, but, no, I know exactly what you mean. I feel the same. Yeah. In terms of, it wasn't scary for me that, say, policies weren't necessarily written on how to return someone to hockey, to international hockey. That wasn't a concern. It was scary in terms of, I still felt so passionate that I wanted to play hockey again. I wanted to play for England, Great Britain. So that side of it was scary, because I knew I'd be coming from months out of the game. And I didn't have a role model who'd done it in my sport. So that was probably the scary bit of, how is it done then? No one knows how to do it. Okay, I'm the guinea pig. So that was a slow piece, which then leads on to other question, Will, which is also now the nice piece that hopefully now that I've done it in my sport, or if another girl or woman wants to do it, when they could hopefully look at my story and think, do you know what? Yeah, it's possible. Jo did it. I can speak to her, or we can have her experiences. If my experience can alleviate anybody's fears in even the smallest way, then I'd be really, really happy for that. And probably same with you, Laura, and your sport, and the other women in all their sports.
But you say about the, you know, Laura Kenny and Jess Ennis, although I compete in it, is it's a completely different sport, and a lot of the training can be done during pregnancy as well, it provided obviously if they're well, but I still look up to them as massive inspirations, and it shows that you can do it as well, even though it's not my sport or whatever. You still do look at, you probably do too, Joe. It's like you look at them and think, yeah, that has, and I do find it like, especially Laura Kenny and her experiences recently, it's just what she has gone through is and then I think it was like a few months after her ectopic pregnancy and that trauma, to then come back and medal at her next event just a few months after that. That was absolutely incredible. It would have been, there have been people not in the professional era in trampoline in other countries that have come back after having a baby, not so soon as this, maybe a little bit longer, but it does show that it can be done, but I guess it's not documented and I don't have access to that.
But knowing
my experience can help,
knowing it's happening just almost normalizes it, and that definitely takes some of the fear away. More and more it does happen, the more and more it becomes normal, and hopefully easier in a way. Not that it will be easy, but just having more experiences, knowledge, that's only going to be a good thing.
Exactly,
Another thing I wanted to ask is, as athletes, elite athletes, Olympic athletes, you're so used to priming and preparing your body for elite performance, but it's such a different type of preparation through pregnancy and then coming back. Sort of, have you noticed big changes, and sort of, how was it, sort of, was it a difficult change in mindset to sort of going from training five times a week to then having to really look after yourself? So how did you find that?
Yeah, definitely a big change. I kept training for quite a lot of my pregnancy, not hockey, but running and exercise in the gym, and I was still lifting weights, things like that, albeit everything was at a lower weight or lower volume, things like that. So I was still training, which was nice. That made me feel normal still in my world, being able to do the training. Then as the pregnancy went on, and I was training less and less, I did struggle with that a bit, because I actually probably realised I don't have many hobbies other than playing hockey. So I didn't have much to do, really, other than watch George play hockey, my husband. So I found that challenging, just because I didn't necessarily have energy, but I was just always used to burning energy doing sports. So I got a bit bored, being totally honest, when I was pregnant, because I couldn't do as much exercise as it went on. I picked up things like pregnancy yoga, which beforehand I never ever would have done yoga, because I find it too hard and boring. But I really, really enjoyed pregnancy yoga because it was something to keep me active. I had a really good pregnancy. I was really fortunate. I didn't have any aches, pains, morning sickness. And I think the exercise I did and the yoga, things like that, I think helped to keep it that way. It was definitely a weird one, going from training so much to then you get to a point where you basically don't do anything. Although, to be honest, I was doing some training about 2 days before I went to labour. So you don't have to sit on your bum and do absolutely nothing.
Mine wasn't yoga, but I did Pilates throughout my pregnancy. I mean, obviously, like we just said, I couldn't train my sport since 5 weeks pregnant, so it was a massive change. It was a huge lifestyle change, and I was concerned about how my back and everything would handle getting back to training after such a long time not having impact. Mm-hmm. I did really benefit from Pilates. I didn't try yoga, but I've heard yoga is really good. There's a lady that was local to me that did pregnancy Pilates and postnatal as well, and I used to take Edie along with me to the session. She used to fall asleep on the mat, which was lovely. And I back in the day when she was not able to crawl. So I really, really enjoyed that. And yeah, I would train in the gym, but as and when I could. I was a bit unlucky with my pregnancy, I think. It wasn't the best. I did struggle with sickness all the way through and nausea. I don't know which was worse, the nausea or the sickness. But it was pretty bad. The worst one, I think, was when my dog, he managed to eat something for the second time and get really poorly, and he had to have surgery. And I had to stay downstairs in the kitchen. My husband was away doing an Ironman or something. He was abroad, and I had to sort of sleep. I was sleeping in the edge of the kitchen in the dining room bit, and just like walking just like 2 meters away from the bin. Just hell. Being pregnant, looking after my dog, it was awful. But that was just, I think I was just very unlucky. For anyone that wants to start a family, don't listen to my experience.
It's all worth it now. that's the message.
Yeah, and you had a great one, so yeah, take your
lucky one.
And then I think the other thing is I don't know if you had the same feeling as well, Joe, but was just the normal anxieties, I think, that every expecting mum gets around the nature of your giving birth, I suppose, and then how that recovery looks. Because I obviously knew it wouldn't be easy, but I think it was another thing I underestimated how tough that would be. I ended up having a C-section, and that wasn't planned. But the recovery for that was a lot. Like, I hadn't anticipated any of that, and you don't. Again, it goes to those transferable skills, kind of adapt to anything. And as soon as I was able to start exercising again, I think at week 7, I'd just been signed off by the doctor at week 6, I went back to Pilates just because I thought that might help to encourage the process, but the recovery process. But that was definitely tricky. And like we've just said, everyone's individual experience, C-section or not, it's that recovery, you can't fast track that. That has to be the bit where it takes time and to be patient with it, I would definitely say.
That's one thing I struggled with when I was pregnant, because I wanted was someone to give me a timeline of, right, you have the baby at this point, you then do this, you then do this, you then do this, you're then playing international hockey on this date. And no one could give me that. Rightly, they couldn't give me it, because we didn't know how the birth would be. We didn't know how I would feel, things like that. So we obviously had a loose framework. We knew what steps we needed to tick off, but we didn't know at what times they would happen. And that's something I really did struggle with a bit, because I just wanted to know, when am I going to be back playing hockey? You just don't, you can't have that answer when you're pregnant until you've gone through the labour, you know what your birth was like, and then you go through the recovery of that, because it's a massive toll you put your body through for 9 months of being pregnant and then actually giving birth, whatever that might look like. And you really have to respect that and properly recover from that point onwards, because I think if you don't, if you rush that side of it, it's really would be challenging to get back to exercise, let alone at an international level. So I'm now back in sort of full-time training, but it's been challenging to build the volume back up to what I'm used to doing, what I used to do. We sort of train I don't even know how many times a week it is, but we train probably 4 or 5 hockey sessions in a week, plus a match, plus 2 gym sessions, plus speed session, which for me was normal before. Coming back after having a baby, it's been difficult to achieve that in 1 week, let alone do that week after week. So it's something.
Are there any aspects of your training that you found are better now?
Definitely got more perspective. I had quite a bit of perspective beforehand, but I know that when I leave training, I'm going back to my family and my little boy, and I know he'll be there smiling. And so that side of it's definitely changed. So I can drive away from training and switch off really quickly. Before, if I had a bad training session, or let's say I'd had I hadn't been selected for something, that's something I would mull over for longer, and it would probably affect me more than I like to think, like to say it would. Whereas now I've just got that real perspective of, I still want this, that's still just as important to me, but I'm not going to waste my energy on that now. I'm going to now focus on my family at home. So that side of it's changed. I don't think anything else has changed really other than that. I feel like I'm slowly slotting back into what it was like before. How about you?
Yeah, similar. I definitely, perspective, and that's something that I had a bit of a wake-up call a few years ago anyway, but not with the preparation before training, sometimes just accepting quicker that I, at where I am, where I am at in that day. So like being a bit more flexible with my preparation, because you have to be. So those routines that you have before your preparation, I think that on a smaller scale, I do the same things, like the same warm-ups and things like that, but on a bigger scale, the things that I'm doing before I get to training is different now. So just not being so like picky and whatever, do you know what I mean? Yeah,
I do. We actually had fitness testing Monday last week, and I've never really been that phased by fitness testing anyway, but still, when it happens on the day, like, right, let's really gear up towards this. And on last Monday, I was just there sitting, giving Josh's breakfast.
Yeah.
I just didn't even give it a thought, because you can't when you're looking after a baby.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is really, really refreshing. So again, I'm not wasting energy on things that I don't need to be.
I think the phrase is just getting on with it. And that's something not a faff about with.
Yeah, so it much will as be, will be.
You have to kind of get on with it a bit more. Yeah, that's definitely.
I'm definitely, one thing that has changed, and I don't know if it's because I had a baby or just because of getting older, I'm much more diligent with my prep. I have to prep for longer beforehand.
Yeah.
I just almost do a bit of stretching, a bit of mobility, and just rock up on the hockey pitch and be fine.
Yeah.
I can't do that anymore. I have to really, really make sure I'm prepared. On doing Pilates, everything.
I think my warm-up was so long before I had ED that it couldn't be any longer now. I've been doing that really well. Because I suppose I am older in my sport as well. I can't think of anything that I feel that I'm better at. I think I've definitely found it challenging having to almost start again, and that sort of feeling, especially when I train in club and seeing all the younger trampolinists sort of look to me as someone that went to the Olympics, probably doesn't look at that level at the moment, but some bits maybe, but it feels like that. That's, I say embarrassed, but I don't know how else to,
I remember
it's not embarrassed.
Yeah,
it is embarrassed, but it's not like, it's just that feeling where I'm not where I was. I'm working towards it, and I know there's some of the stuff I'm doing is good, but I'm not feeling like I'm there yet. But I also just, I guess it's feeling exposed to the people that are looking up to you, and not feeling, not having that, because that confidence comes from training, and confidence comes from numbers and volume and results and things like, and all of the things that I haven't had recently. So, and it's all the things that I'm building up.
Exact same as you. I remember being back training my team and thinking, oh my gosh,
yeah,
seeing this, I am sticking out like a sore thumb. Which was completely understandable, and I was a bit more forgiving of myself. But as it got to sort of week 3, 4, 5, 6, I was thinking, God, it's getting to a point here where I feel like I'm actually bringing the standard training down, which is how I felt, and probably was to a degree as well. That was a challenging thing to be in. And like you said, with club, so my club hockey, I had an expectation in my head of I would be back performing at a certain level of the club at this point, and that wasn't true. And I didn't get selected for some club games when I was returning, which was the right decision, but it was not a comfortable one. It almost a bit like an ego hit for me.
I think because I used to find that I had an extra 10-20% or whatever in me that I could manage to dig out of me, and it would just take me to the next level or whatever. But now I find that I don't have that. I have to really work hard to get, because I think probably just because I underestimated how long of the impact I had off, and sort of all of the lifestyle and everything else, all of the hormones and all of that, how much that affects what I'm doing now, how much more challenging it is now. It's probably taken a lot longer than I thought it might to get to the standard I'm at now.
Exactly the same.
Yeah, so it's I've gone through like phases of feeling almost ashamed of my training and the way I look, even though I feel like I'm trying hard. I've had to sort of adjust to that mindset as well, and try force myself to be a bit kind to myself as well, because at the end of the day, you can only do your best, and that is what I'm doing. So
it's a hard one to do as an athlete, isn't it?
It's a hard one to swallow. Is that I'm having to work hard to get to my average level before this. And I know inside there's that level is still in me. I just haven't found it yet. I'm working. I have to work to get to a lot harder than I ever used to have to work. And I thought I used to work pretty hard.
Yeah,
a weird one. But yeah, that feeling of embarrassment, I think, is. I don't know any other word to describe it. That's the only way I can think of, just that feeling like you're being watched and look up to, and you're not meeting the standards of their, it's out of my control. I can't control what they're thinking. They're probably not even thinking that or even looking.
No, and they're not. It's just actually what everyone else is thinking is, wow.
Yeah.
Back doing this. Oh my gosh, how amazing is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're thinking, God, I'm not quite where I want to be yet.
Yeah. I feel so exposed. Yeah. It's funny. Yeah, I'm glad I'm not the only one with that.
No.
I haven't been able to really explain that one in very well before.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I'm not sure, Will, if you got that, but maybe it makes some sense.
I mean, you've been talking about perspective and stuff, just listening, it's given me a little bit of perspective on the struggles I'm having in my own sport at the moment, so I'm definitely learning from this. I could sit here listening to you all night, but I'm aware of the time and the fact that you are still both fairly new mothers. So my last question is, I guess, sort of, what have been the biggest learnings from the whole process, either about yourself or just about becoming a parent? Sort of what have been the big takeaways and the highlights as well?
Wow, God, that's not a short question, is it?
No.
God.
I think you said it already, Joe, with the perspective. I think, yeah, nothing else really does. Everything else seems sort of trivial in comparison to, the bringing up a little person. It's I think it's nothing else matters as much, and I think it's a feeling I've never had before becoming a mother. And you have to look after yourself even more because you're looking after someone else. And all the other, there's so many other skills. It's hard to pick out the biggest learning for sure.
Yeah, I think one thing I've learned, which probably has amazed my entire family, because when I told my entire family I was pregnant, I'm not the most maternal of people. To give you a bit of a prelude to where this is going. So when I told lots of friends and family I was pregnant, they were obviously very happy, but thought, I don't know how Jo's going to be as a mother. And yeah, one thing I've learned is that I'm a good mum. I've got a happy boy. And I think I accepted quite early on that because of my decisions, I wanted to go back to hockey. I knew that I wouldn't be spending every minute of every day with Josh. And I sort of was okay with that quite early on. I think some mums, and certainly some of my mum friends, beat themselves up about things like that and feel bad and feel guilty. You hear the word mum guilt a lot. I haven't actually had that because I don't know what. I've just almost, I feel like I'm doing a good job. I know I'm doing the best job that I can. You can only give what you can give. I think you've said it in this podcast, in fact, Loris, in terms of with to the sport, you can only give what you can only give. But it's the same as being a mum. You can only give what you can give. So I've definitely learned that yeah, I'm probably a better mum than I and others thought I would be.
Oh, no. I'm sure no one else thought they yeah, I think not having any being able to look back at the last year, I think I don't have any regrets at all about how we've raised Edie so far, and I don't feel like I've missed anything. There's like, I think she had her first sleepover somewhere else in like October time, at my mother-in-law's, and so that was like at 10 months, I think. So we've spent like such a long time with her, and I don't feel like I would have done anything differently, even if I was doing, if I wasn't doing trampolining as well. I think that's a really important thing for me, is like not having any regrets. Like you said, when you didn't want to become a mum, to not be there. I felt really strongly the same as well. And I genuinely don't think I would want to have done anything differently with Edie. And yeah, I feel really, yeah, grateful for the position that I'm in now to be able to do that and do both things as well. So that's, yeah, it's a hard question though, because it's hard to pick out one.
Oh yeah, definitely.
One thing.
I mean, I'm hoping all the listeners will say the same. I've loved this podcast. I've loved listening to the two of you. And like I said, it's the way your faces light up and the joy with which you tell a lot of your stories about how your children are doing. So thank you very much for your time and for being so open and honest. And yeah, I'm very excited to see sort of what happens for both of you, both athletically and also just as being parents as well. I think your children are very lucky and they're going to have a lot of fun with you two as mums.
I can't wait to send Josh to Laura's gymnastic classes.
Yeah, come a lot. You'll have
sign
to
him up.
You'll have to for a visit.
I told you it was good. Thank you once again to Laura and Joe for their honesty and willingness to talk about all aspects of parenthood, good and bad. It's fantastic to see them doing so well as parents, and we wish them all the very best as they continue their return to sport. Sportspiel will be back soon with another great episode, not that I'm biased, so make sure you're subscribed in all the usual places and following us on social media using the handle @SportspielPod. You can also watch our episodes in full on YouTube.